Back in the early days of Monocle 24, our Humble Station's original executive producer, the sound wizard with the answers to our very many audio questions, was Paul Noble, a career radio man and a music consultant. Since leaving Monocle, Paul's fulfilled a long-held dream to create a physical space in which to experience, enjoy, and celebrate good music. It's called Spiritland, a one-of-a-kind cafe, bar, shop, event space, and sound studio in London built around one of the world's best sound systems. Paul's got big ambitions for Spiritland, but how do you get the idea off the ground? This is Eureka, I'm Monocle 24. This week, Paul shares his story.
I actually always thought I wanted to work in film, and then I went to university and started a TV course and realised you need so many people and so much money to make anything that looks good in film that I quickly realised that just one person in a properly equipped radio studio can make a professional sounding radio programme. And so I just transitioned into radio, and actually radio drama in particular. But I was always into equipment, and I always had kind of cassette recorders and turntables, and I was DJing, and I was always interested in the equipment. My whole family are musical. My dad and my uncle both play piano, guitar, bass, drums, and I've always grown up in a musical family, and I don't remember not playing an instrument. It's just there from, you know, when we were born. Music was just all around, and I used to go to Ronnie Scott's jazz club in Soho with my dad as a kid, and watch Joe Pass. I was going to always end up doing something in the musical world. So my first job was at BBC Radio, and I was a sound engineer, and they took on people in very small numbers. They take 5 or 6 people every couple of years, and there'd be 2 years of training before you even got on the mixing desk and touched a button live on air. So I learned how to edit and mix and record, and particularly complex live radio situations. And this was, we were still using reel-to-reel and chopping stuff up with razor blades and chinagraph and bits of tape. But yeah, the BBC training method is no compromise. You do it once and you do it perfectly, and you make sure the equipment is maintained well. So I suppose that's where my interest in some of the equipment came from. I left the BBC in 2000 and started my own company, working with brands, doing radio consultancy for them. So a lot of youth-facing clothing and alcohol brands, Diesel and Smirnoff. And then I worked with The Guardian on a series of their podcasts, the film podcast and some of the culture podcasts in particular. And then about 4 years ago, Monocle got in touch and said, we want to launch a radio station, which is, along the lines of NPR and World Service, taking the magazine and turning it into a radio voice. So joined Monocle as the exec producer and, started working there, building a team, building the studios. Easily the most ambitious thing and the biggest thing I've ever worked on at that point. Live radio is no joke. It's like putting out a fire that never goes out. So as soon as you've finished a show, and this isn't music radio where you're getting a DJ to play some records and you just sit there logging the records and making some announcements in between them. News radio involves, 8 segments per hour. Each segment needs to be researched, and the presenter needs to be briefed, and you need to find a contributor. And obviously it all has to be within the Monocle worldview as well. So you're not just reporting the news, you're saying, well, where's the story here? Where's the Monocle angle, and what are the opportunities? So it's really exciting. And we also opened studios in Tokyo, New York, Hong Kong, around the world. And actually going to Tokyo and spending time there is what probably led to the launch of Spiritland. I mean, the idea came from several places. One is that as a music lover, I didn't feel like there was anywhere for me to go out in London. There's massive venues, which if you're going to see a kind of Fleetwood Mac, fine, you need 20,000 other people to go and see them with. And then there's jazz clubs, which are great, but it's a £100 night out every time. but it's all generally done for young people. The service is usually terrible. You're standing at the bar trying to get someone's attention. After a certain point, it just, none of it spoke to me. And going out to other music venues around Europe, around the world, I just thought there's got to be a more elegant way for music lovers to go out and hear music than what we're doing at the moment. And actually visiting Tokyo and seeing how the music bars operate there, and looking at the jazz kiss attend scene where they have these tiny, tiny bars, just one person playing records, and they're generally divided by genre. So there'll be a blues bar, a jazz bar, an easy listening bar. It's nothing to do with club culture. The drinks and food are fantastic, and it's a beautiful, imaginative, deep listening experience. And it just blew my mind. I just thought, why do we not have this in London? Why can't I go out and hear really good music, which isn't necessarily about getting people up and dancing? It's more of a, the way you listen to music at home. As soon as the idea was in my head that I wanted to open a venue with literally the best sound system in the entire world and the most deep and involved music policy that I could possibly build, which pulled in all my interests in jazz, soul, rock, blues, country, reggae, ambient music, electronic music, everything, that was it. I was on a train track just traveling towards a destination called Spiritland, and I just knew that I had to do it. And if anyone else had done it, I would have been heartbroken, and I thought I could do it better than anyone else. So it was the ego and mania that just pushed it all through. Almost as soon as we launched in East London, I knew that I wanted to build this up into something which wasn't just a bar with an amazing sound system, but is actually a full brand. Our relationship with music has become so devalued by the way that you consume it now. You pay for it like you pay for your phone bill, like you pay for a utility. The days of buying a record, living with it, decoding it, it's long gone. And also the equipment has got smaller and smaller and miniaturized. And yes, it's great that you can have a tiny Bluetooth speaker, but we've lost so much in that journey. We said, let's go 180 degrees the other way and say, what if you built the best sound system in the world? And the sound system we've got here is not like anything that anyone's ever heard, unless you are friends with a billionaire audiophile. You will never hear this kind of equipment, and our speaker partners, Living Voice, make speakers at the very, very top end of the audiophile world. So they'll make them in very short numbers and for very high net worth individuals. So at that level, you need the room to put them in. You need the money to buy them. All the equipment needs to be aligned. I can see Spiritland building slowly and organically in maybe four or five places around the world. New York and LA would be probably the most obvious two places because of the deep musical heritage in each of them. The interest we've had in this since launch, we've only been open since September. 6 weeks after we launched, the New York Times put us on the cover of their arts and culture section. Vice called us the coolest club in London. BBC Radio 4 were covering us on their flagship news program. So I feel like we're on the right track and people are paying attention and people are understanding what we're doing. And it's now just up to us to build it and keep attracting interesting names as we have done to date.
Paul Noble, founder and creative director of Spiritland. Eureka's back next Friday, but before then, tune into The Entrepreneurs on Wednesday. We're with Sharmadine Reed, who talks through how she founded her much-loved brand, Wah Nels. This episode was edited by Toby Hammond. I'm Daniel Giacopelli. Thanks for listening.